I am. My name is Kelly Smith. I'm the lead pastor at Grace. I usually preach in Rochester, but today Pastor Glenn is in Rochester, and I'm here. We're doing the switcheroo, which is one of my favorite weeks because I get to come and hang out with you guys and be in here. This is the first time since I've seen where the lights are done. I can see you all, which is really exciting. Can you see me? Because I've been up here before, and people are like this, trying to go, is he still up there, or what's going on? So it's nice to be able to see everyone and be here today. But we are continuing on in our sermon series. This is the last week, called Dollars and Cents. Dollars and Cents. And if you are new here this week and you're like, dang it, I came to church and they're talking about money, and I see you go, all right, I'm running out the back door and I'm out of here, right? Heads up, that's not really how we approach money in Grace. In fact, you'll probably notice we don't take an offering at the end of service. We don't collect, send a basket around. We don't talk about money much except as what it should be, a tool to be used for God's kingdom. And that's it. We don't want to focus on money. We don't focus on bringing in money. We talk about money in the way God talked about it in the Bible, which is, it is a tool and it has a place in this world, but be careful with it because it can start to ruin your life. So we talked about that the first week of talking about our priorities and having priorities. What's our priority in this life? Is it God or is it money? And this verse in Matthew that says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. You can't have money be your master and God be your master. Because when push comes to shove, you can only serve one. And one will fall under the other. And so which is it in our lives? We say we have to have God as the priority. It can't be about how much money I make. It can't be about those things. We use it, and we use money, and we need to be good stewards with it, take care of it. But we don't serve money. We serve God and God alone. And then last week we talked about our attitude towards money. What is our attitude towards money? How do we view it? If we go, God is above money, and so money isn't the priority in life, how do we see money? What's our attitude? We talked about being, it's all God's anyways. Money, it all belongs to Him. Everything we have is because God has given us the ability to get money. God has given us the ability to work, gave us minds to be able to go to school or get training or give us different things. Everything we have comes from God. So guess what? It's all God's anyway. And God is generous. God is generous with us in so many ways. Most of us don't realize it, but there's many people in this room who sit there and go, I live below the poverty level. I need food stamps to help. I need low-income housing. This is the only way I survive. And I get that. And it can be very difficult and very frustrating to see they're going, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. But the reality is, our poverty line in the United States is really about the same as wealth in most other countries. Our poverty line is the same as most wealthy people in many other countries. It's ridiculous. And it is difficult, but every single person in this room, look around you, has clothes on today, don't you? If someone doesn't, could you please see me after service? I'll close my eyes first, right? But God is taking care of us. We have clothes to wear. We're here in a warm building. God is very generous and takes care of us. And if it's all God's and God has been so generous with us, then we should, out of that, have a generous heart towards others. And it's not if you don't, then you're a horrible person. It's going, if you recognize what God has done for you, don't you want to do it for others with that same love that He's given? So our attitude towards money should be, how can we use it in a godly way? How can we use it for God's kingdom? For His glory. How does that happen? And so we talked about our attitude towards money last week. And this week we are finishing by talking about action. This idea, if we go, if our priority is God first, and money falls somewhere under that, and it's not God, it's not money, it's God. God's the priority. We have a good attitude towards money. If He's generous and we want to be generous to others, how do we put that into action? And so today we want to talk about putting into action, making our finances work for us, to work for God and to work for the kingdom. So how do we do that? Well, this idea of using money and word. It's kind of a churchy word, stewardship. We like be good stewards, right? But what does that mean? To be a steward means the job of supervising or taking care of something. You're supervising, you're overlooking it, or you're taking care of it. The other way, and the very biblical term of it, is managers or administrators acting on a master's behalf. This is what we are called to be. Stewards of money, stewards of finances, stewards of resources, stewards of our time, stewards of all these things. Going, we are managers or administrating, but we're acting on our master's behalf. And if we already said our priority, we serve one master, it's God only, saying, so if God owns all this money, he owns everything, and he's given it to us, how do we manage it? How do we administer it on his behalf of what he would want? Now, this can be kind of going, well, how do we know exactly what God wants? We see some of the stories in the Bible. In fact, there's a parable of the bags of gold, where it's three servants that Jesus says, their three servants are given these bags of gold by a master, and how they invest them and what they do with them and how God responds to them. And how the Lord, the master responds and says, what you're doing with what I've given you. And this story, as you look at it, you sit there and go, it's a biblical story given in biblical times and what happens, but it's very easy to understand that story if we put it in today's modern times and think about it that way. So let's say you sit there and go, look, I'm ready to retire. I've got X amount set aside in a pension or an investment or different things, and I want to take, and I want to make sure I have enough money to live the rest of my life. So I'm going to go to a financial advisor. And you sit there and go, I'm going to break my money into thirds. I'm going to give it to three different financial advisors and say, okay, I want you guys to take this money and use it to make it grow so I can live comfortably the rest of my life. Take this money, be good stewards of it, make it grow for me, and continue to work. And a year later, you go back to those financial advisors, and you say, how's it going? And the first one you talk to says, it's going great. That money you gave me has been a lifesaver. I went down to the Bahamas with it. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it. I bought a boat, a freaking boat. It was awesome. I can't thank you enough. It's all gone, but you're the best, right? Would you be happy with that person? No, you would be like, I need to call a lawyer, right? You took what I gave you to be used for a purpose, and you used it for something that was totally unrelated. And the second financial advisor says, you go to him and say, now what have you done with the money? He's like, look, I took it, and I put it in between my mattresses, and I have every penny of it back for you. Good job, you have just as much as when you gave it to me. And you're like, thanks, but for a year you've had it, and now it hasn't changed at all, and with inflation, I actually lost some money here, so I don't think you're doing well. And your third person says, look, I took the money you gave me, I made wise investments, I saw where there were needs, I met it, I put it in there, I had it grow, I had it so it could be used for more things, and I grew it, and here's what you have now, so that you can continue to do what you're looking to do. Of those three, which financial advisor you would pick? One, two, or three? Three, right? Very easy to see. You go, of course I'd pick three. I'm not going to give more money to the guy who just blew it all. I'm not going to give it to the person who stuck it in their mattress and did nothing with it. I'm going to give it to the person who took it and used it for the purpose it was meant to be used for. Used it for the purpose that I gave it to them for in the first place. This story of the parable and understanding that financial advisor situation is understanding how God, what he has given us, and how we're to use it. In fact, in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received. It's talking about our spiritual gifts, talking about money, talking about finances, whatever God has given you. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received. And it says how we're to use it. Unfortunately, I think most of us kind of look sometimes at money and different things like this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to do whatever you want. Have some fun. Spend some dough. You work for it after all. See how much you can accumulate. You deserve it, Karen. Good job, right? Now, if anyone in here is named Karen, it wasn't directed at you. I just like whenever I tell stories to use the name Karen because it sounds fun. But this this idea of going, is that how we're supposed to look at money? Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to do what you want, to take care of you, to create happiness in the things you own. No. He said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are called to say whatever we have received from God, the gifts we have received, the finances we have received, anything we've received, we're to use it to serve others, to take care of others, to be faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. This is what we are called to do as Christians. We're called to do this because God did it for us first. He said, I've taken care of you. I've been generous with you. I've given you gifts. Use them to care for others. He says, serve others. Serve them with whatever you have. Serve others and serve generously. We have a generous God who says, I will take care of your needs. I will take care of whatever you need, and I will meet those needs. It's not I'll take care of what you want. I won't take care of what you'd like, what you think would be cool to have. I'll take care of your needs. Where are your needs? Do you need comfort? I will give you comfort. Do you need peace? I will give you peace. Do you need clothing? I will find a way for you to be clothed. Whether it's you have the money to buy clothes or I have people who will clothe you on my behalf. God is a generous God who says, I will take care of your needs. And the reality is that we are called to do the same thing, to serve others. And service is a very important thing because we do not have our salvation, our forgiveness of sins, or any of those things because of the things we do. You can't give enough money. You can't help in enough food pantries. You can't serve enough meals to the homeless. You can't care for people enough in terms of giving and doing to save your soul. You can't do that enough to be seen right with God. That is a free gift that comes by faith. Faith in Christ, he says, you have faith in me, this is what you get. And it's given, and it's generously given, and it's freely given. And God says, I give this to you. Now, go and put it into action. Go and put into action what I've done for you. In fact, in 1 John 3:16 through 18, it says, we know that real love is because Jesus gave up his life. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother and sister need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Those are strong words, saying if you love someone and you care for them, how can you just say, here, I care for you. Now goodbye. If you say you love someone and you care for them, you want to help them, but don't actually help, don't actually put it into action, how can that be love? We show the truth of Jesus' love. We show the truth of our love for others by our action. Number one thing we can recognize is that love requires action. You can't just say the words love and it's done. You can't just say the words I care for you and it's done. It has to be accompanied by action. Whether it's spending time with people, whether it's being with people in their lives, whether it's caring for people, helping people. Easy way to look at this is a love for a child, right? I don't know what happened there. Picture didn't show up, but it's there. Anyways, love for a child. I know I love my kids to death. I sit there and I go, I'd do almost anything for them. Not anything for them, but almost anything for them. They're kind of turds sometimes, so it's okay. But I love my children. If I talked to my children and all I did was gave them words and said, I love you. I love you. I love you. But they said, okay, but I'm hungry, Dad. Can I eat? Not my problem. I don't care. Is that showing love? If they're like, Dad, I've got a concert. I'd like you to come to it. not really my thing. Go on your own. Is that showing I love? Is that showing I care? If my kids are going, Dad, my shoes have holes in them, and I can't walk, and my feet are wet every day, and I go, that's okay, you'll be fine, but I just got 3 new pairs, and they're amazing. Would my child think that I love them? No. They wouldn't think I love them because it's just words, but no action to accompany. No action to show that I care about them. Love is action. Love is doing things for other people. Love is caring for other people because you can. Because God has already loved you and cared for you and says, I do all this for you. And you go out of that, oh my gosh. If he loves me, forgave me for being such a sinner, so broken. I know my heart. I know my failures. If God forgives me for that and loves me, man, I don't want to do anything else but love others the same way. Because it has changed my life. And I want their lives to be changed by God's love as well. And I get to be a conduit of that. I get to show them God's love by how I love them. I get to show how God's loving me by how I love others. It's the little things like doing jobs you don't necessarily want to do. But you know it matters to the other person. My wife hates doing dishes. I hate doing dishes. But I know my wife likes it if she asks, because she makes dinner every night. She's awesome. I know if I do the dishes, it's giving her a little break to show my appreciation for her and how much I care. And I used to do it and do it like, I'll do the dishes, washing them and drop a plate. Oh, it broke. I probably shouldn't do this anymore, you know? Because if you, as a husband, if you fail at the job enough times, you don't have to do it anymore. Just a quick note, just so everyone knows. Your wife will not be happy with you, but you don't have to do the job anymore, right? But I said, I got to the point where I realized I was doing it, but I was doing it felt like I had to. And when my mindset changed and I went, look at what she's done for me. Don't I want to do the same for her and care for her? I now fold the clothes in our room and do the dishes every night because I know it takes something off her plate. And I do it with a smile on my face and excited because I know it's serving her and showing love for her. It's the little things of how you care for people, how you take time for them, how you even sit and listen to them and have conversations with them. It's recognizing how generous God has been to us. So how generous we can be to others in his name. Loving others and showing others and having action is what we're called to do. Because the truth is, words without action are just empty. If you say you love, if you say you care for, but you don't do anything with it, it's empty. And this is not a sermon to make people feel guilty. Sorry, to make people feel guilty to say you need to give more or you need to serve more and you need to do this. Because guess what? We don't want that. We're not here to say, why aren't you doing more? That's not love. That's not what our job is. Our job is to say, we're so excited to take part in doing this and loving others and caring for them. Do you want to come along with us? Do we want to do this as a family? As a community? Prime examples, we just had the Christmas Eve service. We had Christmas Eve offering. And I don't know if there's really many people in this church who could say, I'm going to write a $25,000 check right now. But when you have people give $20, $50, and someone gives $1,000, and then you have more little gifts, and a whole bunch of people take part. Suddenly, in one evening, in one service, we're able to bring everything together and go, $25,000 was raised to care for a family down in Mexico, to care for homeless addicts in our communities, to care for mothers and children, because we all joined together. Because we all gave with the means we were able to give, with the position God gave us, with the gifts he gave us, and we said, we can serve others. We can love on others, and we can be God's hand and feet really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. This idea of always being ready to care for others, to practice hospitality, to love on others, it is what we are called to do. Not out of this need, like I have to do it, or if I don't, God's going to be angry, but out of abundance of joy and love for what God's already done for us. So when we talk about money and finances and how we do this, we talk about it and understanding it's not about the actual dollar. That's just a piece of paper. It's about our hearts and how we can take God's love for us and show that love to others. It is a tough subject when you talk about money, not just at church, but anywhere, because the reality is we kind of like our money, and we get sometimes to look at it the wrong way. But here's an easy way to go, how much comfortable are we not comfortable with money? And I talked to Glenn about this. He may have done this before at some point, but it was years ago. Everyone in here, can you take out your wallet real quick, or a handbag or a purse? If you have a purse, hold it up, or your wallet. I want everyone to take it out and hold it up above your head. Mine's actually in the back. But take your wallet, take your purse, something, kind of hold it up for a second. All right? Wait, yep, almost everyone, okay? All right, I want you to take that and pass it to the person to your right. If you're on the aisle, walk across the aisle, go give it to someone else. Yep, no, so yeah, just bring, go give it over. Yeah? All right, good. All right, now, I want you to take that purse or wallet and pass it to the right one more time. One more time. If you're at the end, hand it over. Yeah, pass it one more time. A couple of you are sitting there going, that's cute. It's two people away and 14 feet on the other aisle. A little people may be a little uncomfortable going, that's my wallet. My credit cards are in there, right? Okay, now, so we've taken our wallets, we've taken our purses, we've passed them up. Now, we're going to take an offering right now. Go ahead and open up anything they have and give as much as you want because it's not yours, right? You can be generous. It's not yours. Okay, I'm going to pass everything back. Afterwards, I'm going to have 10 wallets here going, whose are these? So that's a silly little thing, but think about it. How many of you honestly, as you took it out and handed it to one person, were like, okay, but as it went farther away, maybe got a little uncomfortable? Who got maybe a little uncomfortable? Okay, good. Honesty, I like that. Why? Because we're possessive about it. Because we go, I need that to live. If you rack up my credit card and suddenly jump on your phone and enter the number real quick, I could be in financial trouble. I could lose my home. I can't take care of my family. We get worried about it because money still has control over us. And the whole point of this is, guess what? That money in your wallet, that money in your purse, it's not yours. It's not mine. It's not any of ours. It belongs to God. Every dollar you've made in your life is because God has given you the ability and the resources and the means to earn it. He's given you the ability to hold on to it. He's taken care of you in ways you may have never seen or understood, but he's always taking care of your needs. And the reality is, every single dollar in here belongs to him. 100%. And if God is generous with us, we should be generous with others. How easy would you have been if you suddenly got a wallet and you opened up and said, if I'm going to give an offering, I can give all of it because it's not mine. This won't hurt me at all. This won't affect me. This is easy money to give. But that's what it is all the time. It's never our money. And God says, I'm so generous with you. Be generous with others. Care for others. Put that love into action. Put it into a place where it can be used. actually comes from Martin Luther. And the great reformer changed the Protestant church and changed everything of how it was going from such a strict community of laws to understanding that it's by faith and relationship with Christ. He said these things. He said, there are three conversions necessary, three conversions we have in our life as Christians. The conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the purse, or the conversion of our thoughts with money. Those are the three conversions that have to be made in your life. And they go in that order. You have a conversion of the heart where you recognize it's not about me, it's about God now. He has changed my life, changed my heart. And when that happens, you start thinking about the world differently, seeing the world differently, thinking about how you're living life. And when that happens, things change in you and you go, this isn't mine. I'm here to care for others. My job is to serve others, to love others, to care for them in any way possible. The reality is, God doesn't need the money. It's all His anyway. The same God who spoke and the universe came into existence does not need your piece of paper or your piece of plastic to accomplish His goals in this world, to accomplish His mission in this world, which is relationships with Him, which is spreading the good news, which is restoring us to the way He created us to be. He doesn't need your money, but He allows us to take part in what He's doing and to be good stewards of what we have, to care for His people, to be His hands and feet in this world. And every time we do something for someone, every time we care for them, or we clothe them, or feed them, or take care of their oil because they don't have heat in their house, or their mortgage because they're behind, which are things we do in this church, you may not know, happen every week in this church. The money you give goes to help people who are behind on their house, who don't have oil for heat, who have doctor bills. Every week, we're doing this at the office. We're not bragging about it because it's not something we want to boast about, but it's something that you guys are doing right now as a part of When You Give. We can do that corporately as a church, and we can do it individually in our lives, because it's all for the same purpose, being the hands and feet of Jesus to the world, showing His love to others, being generous as He has been generous to us. And we are called to action. We can't just say we love people, not do anything. We are called to action. It says right in James 2, 14 through 17, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing. You say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Those words are harsh words. They are strong words. And they're not kind of just skirting around an issue. It's saying, the only way we're saved is by faith. But if that faith isn't real, if it's real, it will produce change in your life and it will produce action. Because of what God has done for you, you want to do it for others. So faith, without action, without deeds, faith without those things, it's dead. It's not living, because if it's living, we should be so excited to do God's work. So excited to care for the broken heart. So excited to love those who don't have the love of Jesus in their life. For us, that means three real things. We need to be ready to help others. Be ready to always practice hospitality. Be ready to always meet the needs of people who are in need. We love at Grace to lead with yes. We lead with yes. When we have questions, we lead with yes, because we sit there and go, if God is doing these things, we want to be a part of it. He's putting someone in that. Let's lead with yes. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But let's lead with yes. Be ready to help others. Be generous. Be generous in all we do. We don't want to sit there and go, how fancy can we make this building? How many buildings can we actually? Ooh, I wonder if we can have a lot of rec centers and different things. ministry, but guess what? If this place went away and downtown went away, we lost the offices, we lost Grace Place, and we had none of it, we could still be generous. We could meet in a tent and praise Jesus Christ together and have this family and love on others with everything we have. Really, seriously. It's not about the stuff. Possessions will never make you happy. They create temporary, fleeting moments of happiness, but no joy. I would rather go, God, you fulfill my needs. You take care of my needs. Now let me love on others. Let me be generous as you have been generous. And show love by action. I firmly believe the best way to let others know the love of Jesus Christ is not necessarily by saying the word, God love you, but by showing God love you. Showing people by the way you live your life, the way you treat others, the way you are generous, God loves you. And I love you. This whole idea of money, dollars and cents, is recognizing it's not about how much you give. It's not about you need to make sure you tithe your people. It's not about any of that. It's about recognizing God is in charge of everything. It's all His idea. And let us be generous towards others as God has been generous towards us. Let us love the people that are hurting in this world. Let us love each other and take care of each other in every moment. This is what it means to put our finances into action. Take our money and use it kingdom of God in all. Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord, thank you so much we could be here. Thank you that you are here in this building with us, God, that you're living in our hearts. That, Lord, you have provided for us and cared for us. And you have put people in our lives to help us out when we're in those spots too, God. I pray that we would recognize your generosity, God. That we would praise you for who you are and for what you've done. And Lord, that we would be generous to others as well. That we would reach out, be your hands and feet. And that we would see money as a tool that we get to use, and we get to use excitedly to be generous and give and care for others, God. That we're excited. We're enthusiastic because of how openly you've given to us. Let us use your representation of love